Out of the closet, and I turned a Christian radio station on from the U.S. side, and they were playing music for a program that normally would be played when I was almost to church, which was 27 miles over country roads. I wonder why they're playing this, and all of a sudden it hit me. Ooh, the time went ahead. So I called one of the deacons, and I said, look, I'll be there as quickly as I can. And so ever thereafter, every time the time would change, they would always say, now, don't forget your clock. Seemed to rub it in. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Considering the Lord's table. Let's start reading at verse 17. 1 Corinthians 11, chapter verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God? And shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. So Paul is laying out some directions here for the Lord's table. Let's just bow in prayer first of all. Father, we thank you, we praise you for the new day, for this beautiful sunshine Lord's Day. Lord, as we're reminded of the church here in Corinth and what they were experiencing and how Paul laid this out for them, how to live, how to conduct their lives before you. We just would pray, Lord, that we might glean something from your word this morning, something that might help us, something that might benefit us. And Lord, we just praise you for the word, for the preservation of the word, and for the privilege that's ours to handle it. And Lord, we look forward to what you have for us now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I want to draw your attention to one word, and it's in two verses. It's in 24 and 25. It's the word remembrance. Remember, because we have the tendency to forget or neglect or whatever you want to call it. But Paul is saying here, quoting from the Lord, saying, "This do in remembrance of me." In other words, to be reminded of the Lord Jesus, to be reminded what he has done for us. So, first of all, I'd just like to bring to your remembrance what you are before the Lord, or what I am before the Lord. So I went through the scriptures to write down some things. The first list begins with lost, separated, without hope, alien, reprobate, enemy, strangers, foreigners. These are all Bible terms. And then there's another group of words: saved, born again, washed, quickened, purchased, sanctified, servant, brethren, saints, chosen, followers, elect, them that have obtained like precious faith, Peter writes, beloved, preserved, Jude says, fellow citizens with the saints, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, one whose conversation is in heaven, all biblical terminology. One is either in the first group or the second group. There's no halfway. There's no half-caste when it comes to Christianity. One is either a Christian or not. And there was a few who found out this past week in Oregon, U.S. If we are a Christian, we belong to Christ. We are his. But is he first in us? I hear people say, so-and-so is a Christian doctor. Maybe a Christian carpenter. Maybe a Christian nurse. Christian what? It's either Christian or not. And as far as what we work at is only a means of supporting us while we serve the Lord. Paul says in Ephesians 1:4 that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The Christian is to be pure, no blemish, none whatsoever. That's what it means to be holy and without blame. Now, it's one thing to eat a piece of fruit with a blemish on it, but it doesn't go well on the stand when someone's trying to sell it. Someone comes along, they look at it, and they say, oh, that's got a blemish, and they put it back. Or, well, I'd take it for a lot less. He says, we should be holy and without blame. No blemish as a Christian. To the church of Philippi, he says in chapter 1, verse 6, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will accomplish this work. This good work that he has begun in each and every one who has been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:7, we read, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, that we would be a type or a prototype. And it's referring to the ordinances and the institutions of the Old Testament in how that they were a picture of what was to follow in the New Testament. So Paul wants us to remember, it's important to remember who the Lord Jesus Christ is and who we are before him. Another thing that we're to remember is the fact of the Great Commission. What do we really think of that which the Lord Jesus said? Is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, he says, go ye into all the world. Well, just remember, we are accountable. And if we can't go, we can send, or we can support, or we can pray. We can sacrifice time instead of spending it on selfish pleasures. We can send a note of encouragement. We read in Hebrews 3 and verse 13, but exhort one another daily. That's a command. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is a great deceiver. Think, oh, I can get away with this. Uh-oh, no. The scripture says, be sure your sin will find you out. It will take you further than you plan to go. It will deplete you of any goodness. It will leave you of far less value than you ever were before. The beauty of sin, no beauty whatsoever. So the writer there in Hebrews 3:13 says, exhort one another daily. Remember, it's important to exhort one another, encourage one another. And when we go, what are we going to do? He's already given us instructions. Teach, baptize, observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Not going on a holiday. Forget it. If that's what you're thinking missions is about. Is that what missions is about, Derek? No holiday. Do you have a 5-star hotel up in P&G? Thanks to Qantas. So it's good to remember some of these things. He tells us to go. He tells us to teach. He tells us to baptize, to observe all things, not just some of them, but all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Remember the Great Commission. Also remember, if we are saved, that we owe the lost the gospel. We're indebted to those who know not Christ. We owe them the gospel. And Paul writes in Romans 1:14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and unwise. And in chapter 8, verse 12, he writes, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. A debtor, one who is obligated either to render reparation or suffer punishment. We owe the lost the gospel if we know Christ as Savior. We are debtors. A lot of debt in the world today. But this debt is an eternal debt. It deals with a person's eternal destiny. That word unwise in Romans 1:14, it's an interesting word. It means lacking intelligence and demonstrating moral fault. One who does not govern his lusts. One without mind. The highest knowing power in man, the organ by which divine things are comprehended and known. The unwise. Can't quite work it out. The Christian owes that person the gospel. Fellow who had been in Glenside two or three times said to me one time, you know, if somebody went in there and preached the gospel, about 80% of those people wouldn't be there. The problem is not mental. It's sin. It's a spiritual problem. So there's things that we need to be reminded of. Why? Because as time goes on, we let them slip. We don't keep up. Remember where we've come from. Remember why we're here. Remember where we're going. And Paul says, when he wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, he says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also, not those who will drop the baton, those who will pass the word on. Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." If what Timothy was teaching was going to go by the wayside, it would be a waste. So Paul says, commit it to the faithful ones, the ones you can depend on. Because they'll take it on to others, and to others, and to others. And I've thought many times of Edward Kimball, how he walked back and forth in front of that shoe store in Massachusetts. And eventually he went in and talked to Dwight Moody. And Moody reached thousands with the gospel. If Edward Kimball had just said, "Nah, forget it," wouldn't have been good. Remember. Something else to remember. John 15:5. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "For without me ye can do nothing." What does nothing mean? It means an absolute absence of anything. Without me ye can do nothing. You can't breathe, you can't think, you can't talk, you can't eat, you can't play with your phone, you can't do anything without the Lord Jesus Christ allowing it to take place. Nothing. Remember, without me, you can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. And you might say, "But I am my own person." Yes. But you can only do what the Lord permits. And there may come a time when he says, "That's enough. That's enough." When I was first pastoring, I remember one of the older men in the congregation saying, The old must die and the young may. Sobering. But remember, without me, ye can do nothing. So when Paul's addressing the church at Corinth, here in chapter 11, if you look at verse 28, he says, "Let a man examine himself." You see, young people, exams don't stop when you get a diploma. There's always examinations going on. They're just different. But this one is proving a thing, whether it be worthy to be received or not. Let a man examine himself. Am I worthy before the Lord? Am I what the Lord would have me to be? If I know him as my Savior, can I look him in the eye? Can I look that person in the mirror in the eye, or is it just a fleeting glance? That's what he's talking about. Let a man examine himself. The word is never used in reference to Satan, since he never wants us to experience God's approval. He always tempts with the intent to make us fall. Interesting. That word examine, verse 28, never applied to Satan. The Lord wants us to examine ourselves to show us worthy before him. Satan puts the bait out there. Come on, take it. Take it. And then all of a sudden, zoom, you're caught in the trap. So it's important to ask ourselves, whatever we're involved in, does it fit with my position in Christ? Is this what the Lord would have me do? It's important to remember. Remember, the only hope which any man can know is in Jesus Christ. Psalm 38, verse 15, we read, "For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God." He always hears. Psalm 71, verse 5, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." Psalm 119, verse 81, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word." And the prophet Jeremiah, as he pleads with God, he says in chapter 17, verse 17, "Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil." When evil is running rampant, the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. He is greater than anything. He's greater than the evil. The evil is not greater than he is. He is greater. For the Christ rejecter, the one who refuses his grace and mercy, we read in Proverbs 11:7, "When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth." At the last breath, the hope is gone. For the believer, at the last breath is victory, it's glory. Heading to be with the Lord. Absent from the body, Paul says, is present with the Lord. Absent, present. for the unbeliever, absent, no. No hope, none whatsoever. So remember all that the unjust, the unsaved hope for perisheth. And this is one of the most important words in Hebrew to communicate destruction. It's a harsh ending. Remember something else. 1 John 1:7, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Nothing else does. Otherwise, it would have been a waste for God the Son to leave the glories of heaven, to be clothed upon with human flesh, to suffer, to be beaten, to be nailed to that cruel cross, if there were another option by which God the Father would have been satisfied with a payment for man's sin. Remember, Christian, the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. All, not just some of it, but all unrighteousness. Remember, Christian, for we are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They are his possession. They belong to him, both body and spirit. All that we have are his. We are only stewards at best. Some might say, oh, I own this or I own that. I don't own anything. I have the use of it. I have the privilege of having the use of something. I don't own anything. I have to own up to sin, but I don't own anything. All that I have is his. And I'm a steward. That means I have to leave it before him. Whatever he wants me to do with it, that's what I do with it. It involves fellowship with him. You don't hang on to it too tightly. It's like a bar of soap in the bathtub. You grab it too tight and you lose it. You don't hold on to it tight enough, you lose it. You have to know how to hold it. Lord, how do you want me to hold this? Oh, this is mine. No, it isn't. Nothing is mine. Nothing is anyone else's apart from the Lord's. They're his possession. Remember, everything belongs to him. Remember the imminency of Christ's return. It could take place at any moment. Don't forget. When that last soul who makes up the church is saved, the church is gone. Gone. Because that's what Paul tells us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says, be not ignorant, brethren. Open your eyes, read the word, think about it. The rapture could occur at any moment. It's a pretty exciting time to be alive. See what's happening globally? Russia moved down into Syria. Interesting time. Don't take these things lightly. The rapture could occur at any moment. Remember, Paul has already told us about it. And he says, be not ignorant. you've already been told, keep it in mind. Could occur at any moment. And when it does, it's going to be very sudden and the church will be gone. Those who were in that second list that I gave you. So don't forget when he says, this do in remembrance of me is for us to have our memory jogged or shaken or whatever you want to call it. It's not just a ritual. If it's a ritual, it's a waste. But it's so that we might be reminded of the fact that Christ was beaten and lashed and nailed to the cross, and that his blood was poured out for your sin and mine. And to see what went on. And one thief on the cross railed on him. And the other one said, remember me in paradise. Remember me. So he says here, this do in remembrance of me. It's for a purpose. It's not just something to do and to make light of. Is to be reminded that we would think on him. Think of what he has done for us. The price that has been paid. And the result. He says, I will build my church. It's going to happen. With me or without me, but it's going to happen. With you or without you, but it's going to happen. It will occur. It will be completed. This do in remembrance of me. Ask the men if they would come forward at this time.
Thank you.